demons come to visit Jesus, but at night for fear of the Jews. But on that fateful day, Christ took all his tears away. If demons believe the good news, Peter swore that he'd be true to Jesus, and denied him three times in the night. But on that Sunday morn, Peter and John were both reborn. When they saw the empty tomb, they saw the light. Mary Magdalene remained at the graveside, wondering what had happened in the night. They had taken my Lord away, Mary Magdalene did say, when she saw the empty tomb, she saw the light. Oh, that Sunday was a day to remember, when the angels rolled that stone away. Thursday evening, Christ was tried, Friday afternoon he died, but he rose from the tomb on the third day. On the evening of that Sunday to remember, Christ's disciples out of fear all did hide. Christ has wiped away their tears and he calmed all of their fears when they showed him his hands and his side. Filled the Jews as Pilate for Barabbas, and they mocked Jesus Christ on the cross. Christ did frightful fear the Jews until they heard the good news and love from all their fears away. White Trash Bill, White Trash Bill, lived down the street from Capitol Hill. He never worked, he never will, my friend White Trash Bill. White Trash Bill, White Trash Bill, got a wife from New York and her name is Hill. She writes books to pay the legal bills, my friend White Trash Bill. White Trash Bill from Arkansas, he went to Yale to study law. The man from Hope smoked dope at Yale, but he didn't inhale. White Trash Bill, man from Hope, got reelected by selling dope. His wife Hill, she did great, she made a killing in real estate. White Trash Bill ain't got no car, but he got a big cigar. Wife don't smoke, but his intern will, my friend White Trash Bill.
Yeah, baby, won't you put me in your 401k Domestic partners can't be denied their rights no more. We had sex on the men's room floor at the rest stop on Route 294. So you can put me in your 401k Cruising men's rooms lets me make all kinds of friends. But domestic partners are more than just friends in the end. 10 a night seems about right. I foresee domestic benefits galore if they all put me in their 401k Yeah, baby, won't you put me in your 401k Domestic partners can't be denied their rights no more. We had sex on the men's room floor at the rest stop on Route 294. So you can put me in your 401k Thank you. Oh, my golden slippers have laid away, and I don't expect to wear them till my wedding day. And the long white robe that I love so well, I will wear up in the church in the morn. And the long white robe that I bought last June, I'm gonna get fixed, cause it fits too soon. What a great campaign there will be that day, right up in the church in the morn. Oh, them golden slippers, oh, them golden slippers I'm gonna wear, cause they look so neat. Oh, them golden slippers, oh, them golden slippers I'm gonna wear to walk on the golden street. Oh, my old banjo hangs on the wall, cause it ain't been tuned since way last fall. And the folks all say that we'll have a good time when we ride up in the charity in the morn. There's old brother Ben and his sister Luz, gonna telegraph the news like a bag of juice. Bloody great campaign there will be that day, rise up in the charity in the morn. Oh, them golden slippers, oh, them golden slippers I'm gonna wear, cause they look so neat. Oh, them golden slippers, oh, them golden slippers I'm gonna wear to walk on the golden street.
this is an uprising against smug elites. Smug elites. So they're the villains, and the opposite is America. Because America is now one big gay disco.
Yes, yes, I
am. That's not evil? Being hostile to all mankind and subversive is not evil?
Well, I have to say that because St. Paul said the Jews are enemies of the entire human race. They are.
What do you think of Jordan Peterson?
Did you see the video about where he said I can't do it?
Adam, I'm trying to do you a favor.
You're fighting for the gay disco.
Don't make your ignorance normative for the rest of us.
Don't use those kinds of slurs.
You're fighting for the gay disco.
What? There are no slurs here.
Die for the gay disco. This is an uprising against smug elites. Smug elites. So they're the villains, and the opposite is America. Because America is now
definitely our most requested guest, Dr. E. Michael Jones, a man who needs no introduction.
I mean, it is. That's what they pay the Rockefeller Foundation to do.
You're not supposed to know what I just told you.
They didn't know about this. They didn't know what we know now.
Is there any argument you can use to wake them up?
Yeah, I think God had a plan for your life.
Well, you'd be jerking off every curvy piece of driftwood you saw at the beach.
Don't like disco.
Maybe you would.
And you're consistently refusing to talk about pornography.
Pete Buttigieg seems to be the exhibit A of that process.
Yes, yes.
Because you think that the anus is a sex organ, don't you, Pete?
Richard Spencer hands out spears and he says, charge the machine gun nest.
Dr. Jones. Sorry.
Not all of the heads of the Federal Reserve were Jews, but after a certain period of time, that seemed to be the case.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of EMJ Live. We have a special program today with a special guest, Brother Nathaniel. Most of you know who Brother Nathaniel is, a courageous man who has stood up to the Israel lobby and to the Jewish hegemony over our culture for years now. A man who is, like his namesake, a true Israelite, a man with no guile. Before we bring him on, I just would like to set the stage here by talking about what is happening right now. We have the situation in Gaza going from bad to worse. The Israelis continue to bomb innocent women and children. They are trying to drive them out into Egypt, and they are blockading food, all of which are war crimes. Okay, at this point, the Palestinians are starving to death. They come to an aid convoy, which miraculously seems to get into Gaza. And what do the Israelis do? They open fire on people who are starving to death. This is, words fail me to describe the barbarism that is being inflicted on the Palestinian people. How long can this go on without some type of reaction? Well, I think the reaction is beginning. I don't know whether you heard the news, but today George Galloway got elected to Parliament in England. This is significant. He is one of the most outspoken critics of Israel in Great Britain. A man who pulls no punches in talking about what's going on, and he was elected in what I consider a landslide. He got six times the votes of the people, his nearest, closest rival in this election. This is a significant event, and you can tell it's significant because all the usual suspects, the pundits, the paid prostitutes in England are going crazy, attacking him as an anti-Semite and running around like Chicken Little saying that the sky is falling. This has also led to some commentary here. I'm going to read you something that Jonathan Cook, one of the few courageous journalists in England, what he wrote recently. weaponized anti-Semitism was always about silencing those protesting against British foreign policy, a foreign policy that prioritizes Israel's pivotal role in promoting Western control over the oil-rich Middle East above ending Israel's oppression of the Palestinian people. Previously, that meant smearing Corbyn and the anti-imperialist, anti-war labor left. But with public outrage growing at Israel's genocide, the stakes have risen dramatically. Now, the political and media establishments are desperate to shift attention away from both Israel and their complicity in the slaughter of children. Their preferred method has been pretending that it is only Muslims and left-wing anti-Semitic extremists opposed to the genocide. Normal people apparently should be invested exclusively in the impossible task Israel claims to have set for itself of eliminating Hamas, however many Palestinian children die in the process. Let's bring Brother Nathaniel on. Brother Nathaniel, welcome.
Well, yes. Hello, Dr. Jones.
Yes, good to see you again. We go way back.
We do.
years ago, I made your acquaintance. You kind of burst upon the scene. This man is dressed in this clerical garb, standing out on the sidewalk with a big sign saying something naughty about Jews or something like that, and attracting a lot of attention. And then what seemed to me for a while is that you were, every time I heard about you, you were being banned from something or other.
I'm the most canceled guy, not Nick Fuentes, not Jones. Brother Nathaniel is the most canceled guy, but I don't like to talk about it. I like to stay positive.
Yeah, I do too, but I'm overwhelmed by negative things. And if I wanted to stay positive, I never would have gotten into journalism to begin with.
You're rare.
If you journalists only write about planes that crash, they never write about planes that land safely. But to get back to you, I'm wondering. You heard what I read here.
Yeah, I heard.
You seem to be making a comeback now. I mean, was it being on Alex Jones? Did that change your position? What happened? Tell us what happened.
All right, let me tell you what happened. I've been doing Real Jew News since 2007. That's when you and I got together. You know, I've done article interviews with you, and we've done interviews before together on the phone, I think. And, you know, you and I go way back, okay? And I used to wear a bow tie. I miss the bow tie, man.
Okay. Sorry.
That was your brand, and I told your manager, tell him to wear the bow tie. I got the brand. You need the brand.
Next time. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
We'll do it again. But
by the way, so, just to interject there, the Jewish Revolutionary Spirit came out in 2009.
Yeah, that's the book I bought. I have the book, Michael.
Good. So we're talking about that. I'm going to tell you honestly, it was kind of lonely back in 2009. I mean, everyone, it was just, who's out there talking about this? There weren't a lot of people there. So the question is, has the world changed?
You and I have changed nothing. But we just have to keep on keeping on, as the saying goes, and just pray that Jesus Christ, our Lord God and Savior, your Lord God and Savior, my Lord God and Savior, is going to help us. So we just keep going. And I think this is what empowers us to continue, Dr. Jones.
I think you're right. I don't think anybody in his right mind would do this if he didn't have some type of spiritual motivation, because the forces are against us are so overpowering. They're right. overpowering. Anybody in his right mind would seek another line of work. But
well, Newman and I have stuck at it, and then Jesus Christ is going to reward us. And his Holy Mother, we will be rewarded. We just have to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you and I need to know, our labor is not in vain in the Lord.
But I still think that there's a change. I think there's a change in the atmosphere. But the stuff that I read to you, I could have given you other examples here of people who are saying, wait a minute, this weaponized anti-Semitism stuff is getting old. You have to keep expanding the group of people that you're accusing of anti-Semitism. And the more you expand the accusations, the more diluted the claim becomes, the more diluted the power behind the claim. Isn't that what's happening now?
I think so. You know, Dr. David Duke, and he has a PhD. This man is brilliant. He's a walking encyclopedia. And I speak with him quite often. And he told me a long time ago, he said, brother, I met him in person. That's when in Louisiana. And he said, brother, there's more of us than there are the Jews. So just keep on educating people. Keep on telling the people what is happening. And eventually it's going to explode on that tiny minority that think they can get away with genocide.
This calls the entire civilized order into question. Nobody can ignore this, although it seems that the people are doing their best.
The Verity Press during the Super Bowl. Okay. While the Super Bowl was going on, the Jews were murdering little children. I cried. Get this damn Super Bowl off. Take the television and smash it. But I don't want to go there anymore because that's negative. I want to stay positive. And you want to be positive.
All right. So what do you want to be positive about? Tell me what you want to be positive about.
I want to be positive that you asked me, I made a comeback. Well, not really. I've been doing Real Jew News. I've been doing my videos since 2007, articles and videos. Then I decided last September, maybe it was October. That's it. I got a head cramp. I look at a headline. I see the Jews behind it because they control the media. I mean, you can turn a headline two different ways, three different ways, four different ways. So I see how the Jews turn a headline. I see the whole agenda. It was giving me a head cramp. I decided that's it. I'm not doing it anymore. So I've been doing Bible with Brother on the side on YouTube. And it was the Bible. It was the Holy Gospel. And I was reaching the youth. That's what I want to do. I want to reach the kids. And we did an analytic, me and my computer tech, 16 through 27 were watching my Bible with Brother. And I would get, not like Josiah Trenum or some others, okay, Orthodox, okay, Christians, you may not know them. They would get maybe 11 comments. Oh, this is so nice. Well, they're parishioners, okay, of course. They're preaching to the choir. I wasn't preaching to the choir. I don't want to preach to the choir. The kids were writing to me, oh, brother, you're so cool. I like your delivery. It's so snazzy and your graphics. And I want to become Orthodox Christian. I want to know more about this. I was raised with nothing. My parents are separated. This is the typical thing, okay, that's going on.
Yeah.
I would say, email me. And don't you think Susan Wyszynski and her tribe in the comments, they saw kids that they were trying to destroy with drugs, homosexuality, perversion, transgenderism, gender care. I mean, there's a lot of garbage on YouTube. There's a lot of sick garbage. So they would write to me. I gave them my email right in the comment section. And I helped them. I brought some of them into the church, and I was bringing more and more and more. And all of a sudden, I went to look at the comment section. Boom! So I thought, must be an algorithm, because you're talking about the Bible, you're going to talk about Jews. How do you miss it? You go to concordance, it's 5 pages long, Jew, 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 Jew. Okay, but it wasn't anything political. So I wrote on my appeal, hey, it must be an algorithm. There's nothing political if you look into it, so please restore my account. So I get back, you violated community guidelines. So I wrote back, which ones, tell me which ones, and I'll rectify it. And then I said, how is it that I went through hoops and barrels and somersaults and cartwheels to get monetization? And I was kosher approved. Now you say I violated community guidelines? Well, which ones? I was reasonable. I got back the script. You violated community guidelines. You have one more chance. Now I got to talk to a robot on chat. I knew it was all over. I knew I was finished. But I went through it just to say to myself and to my friends, I went through the appeal process. And now I'm talking to a kosher robot, okay? They probably fed him with some kosher pig or something. AI. I say, just give me one community guideline that I violated. So the kosher fed AI that's been eating chazarai, in Jewish that means pig. That's what these people are, they're pigs. You violated community guidelines. Okay, that's it. I said, I'm going to get them. I'm going to get them. And as soon as I say that, a week later, I'm going to get them. The gloves are off. Boom. So good bastards, okay? You see, you can't even play by their game, Michael. Okay, I'll play by their game. I'll be a nice guy. I just talk about the Bible, the gospel. Nothing political. They're ruling the world. They're ruling Joe Biden. They run the media. They've got the whole globalist finance down pat. No, you can't play there by their game because I was reaching the youths. That's their province. They want to destroy the Goyish youths. No good bastards. Well, Susan Wojcicki, you want to put all this crap on? Drugs, homosexuality. Over her boy overdosed. Now, I don't take any pleasure in this. I could have helped that Jewish boy. I could have helped that boy. I would have liked to help that boy, at least to get him off drugs. So what goes around comes around. Okay, now I get an email from Daria, the producer of Alex Jones. I thought it was a crank email. Why would Alex Jones want me on? Well, he did. And that was it. And I really have to thank Alex Jones because that put me on the map. Now, before that, Jeff Rentz did, okay? No question about it. Jeff Rentz put me on the map. Now I'm moving into this other realm where I'm on Alex Jones and he gets 2-3 million viewers.
Well, what did Alex Jones want to talk about?
Well, I asked Daria, I said, what's he want to talk about? Give me some prompts so I know how to answer. Oh, no, that's not how Alex works. Alex is very spontaneous. I said, good, I like that. He says, whatever comes to his head that morning. Oh, that's great. So I'm already impressed with the guy because I never could watch him. I would watch him sometimes for 20 minutes and it was very vehement and emotional and dramatic. Then after 20 minutes, I would say, okay, so I wasn't even watching Alex Jones. Now, come on. First thing he says, he gives me a terrific introduction. He says, real Jew news, and he's talking about the Jewish rule and every component of the American society. This is terrific. I almost fell off of my chair. Then he says, I find Brother Nathaniel very entertaining. I've been watching his videos for 15 years. Boom. Okay, every Jewish kid's got some sechel. I said that he agrees with me. So he's going to play good cop, bad cop, and that's what he did. Of course he agrees with me. If he's been watching my videos for 15 years, you don't watch a video and disagree with a guy and keep on watching. You do that? I don't. 15 years he's been watching all my videos, and he just quoted the Russian autonomous zone that I just did a couple weeks ago in Russia, that's in the eastern part of Russia. He quoted it on one of his shows. I said, yeah. So he is still watching me. So he's playing good cop, bad cop.
But why now? Why did he have you on now?
Well, because it was like a trilogy type of thing. First he had Nick Fuentes. Of course you know him. I didn't know anything about Nick Fuentes. I just saw his name here and there. It's that he was associated with Kanye West in some way, but I never knew about him. Then he had Stu Peters on, and Stu Peters hit Alex hard. Wow, because I saw that before I was on Alex Jones. Man, go Stu. But I said, don't be saying Zionist. I said to myself, don't say Zionist, say Jew. Just split. Well, the Jews are good, the Zionists are bad. The Jews love that, and Stu doesn't do that anymore. Because I said, don't do that anymore, Stu. Now he has me on.
This is common here. Let's take somebody like Tucker Carlson or Colonel McGregor. They will say neocon. And Colonel McGregor even said, got to the point where he said, the neocons came from Russia. Well, I felt like saying, well, what were they called in Russia? You know, neokonskis? Is this going to end? Who's going to say the word Jew first? Is it going
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, I am not in the same league in terms of viewership as Tucker Carlson. He's mainstream. He's got millions of people. Is that what it's going to take, someone of his stature, to say the word Jew?
Elon Musk will kick him off. Elon Musk has Jewish investors. How do you buy $40 billion? I knew right away. You know, I was raised at the Wall Street Journal on the kitchen table. All right, turn to the stock markets. I was raising this stuff. Okay, so I knew instinctively when I saw he's going to buy it for $40 billion. He's the richest man in the world. He ain't the richest man in the world. The Jews are the richest men in the world. They're funding him. So I went, did a little quick search. I saw who's funding, who helped invest in Tesla. It was, of course, Larry Fink. Tied into the whole globalist realm. He's tied into Goldman Sachs and Warburg Pincus. Of course he is. He's part of the synagogue of Satan. Gates isn't. The Goy, he's not tied into this.
I have to say that I was banned from Twitter. And then when he took it over, I got restored.
Me too. We all got restored.
Isn't that a good sign?
It's creeping censorship, of course. I say, well, Trump will get in. They'll give him some rope. They'll make it look good. And I'll put some wire up and at the border. The damage is already done. He's not going to solve anything. He's not going to deport anybody. He won't deport anyone. Don't you know that there's all kind of legal groups that the Jews run and fund? They're not going to let him deport anybody. So the damage is already done, but they'll make people feel free. Oh, we're a nation again. That's what the Jews do. But he's still tied into the Jews. All they have to do is raise the interest rates on all his real estate, and they'll destroy him.
Yeah, I'm not. I voted for Donald Trump, but I understand his shortcomings. But
well, do you hear what he's saying? He was at the Republican Jewish Coalition. What flavor of Jew control do you want? Do you want Democrat? Do you want Republican? Same thing. So first thing he says with that fake accent of his, he's a fake. I haven't heard anything genuine come out of this guy. He's an actor. He's a con man. I love Israel. I love Israel. This is drama. He says that's the first thing he says. I'm going to get Hamas. They will, under my administration, they will be extinct. Oh, con man. Now, why is he playing up to the Jews? Back in November 2023, he needs the money. He needs the press. You don't have the money or the media, you're finished.
But wasn't that a step forward, or was it not, with getting put back on Twitter?
Of course, but already, I was banned too. You were banned. Alex Jones was banned. All of us were banned. Some homosexual, I forget his name.
Yeah, Yale. He was was it Yale Roth?
Yeah. Yael Roth. And he was married to another Jew, you know, sticking their penises up each other's ass. Okay, excuse my expression. I should be talking like that. My bishop warned me. But sometimes those are the words that get it. All right, so yeah. So he banned me. He banned you. He banned Alex Jones, everybody. I mean, the list is... Now, Elon Musk is saying Western civilization is at a standstill unless we free up the First Amendment. Oh, we got so excited. But I saw his investors right away. Larry Fink, and the other one is another Larry Ellison, who owns Oracle, and his son.
Okay. You could make the argument that the... Elon Musk is implementing the ADL policy.
Well, they're back on. They're
freedom of speech, but not freedom of reach. That's the ADL policy.
Not even freedom of speech. I was flagged 3 times already in 1 month. All I did, Dr. Jones, they got all algorithms and they're watching me. I know it. I said in the 50s, growing up in the 50s as a Jewish kid in the synagogue, in traditional Judaism, I had all, but it's true. I never heard the word Holocaust. It was a very short tweet. We never heard gas chambers. We didn't even hear this figure 6 million. All we heard from Jacob Marcus, the Jewish historian in the Encyclopedia Britannica, which they took off, by the way. He did an article on World War II and said that these were work camps for political prisoners, and political prisoners were Jews who were communists, Jehovah's Witnesses, and gypsies. They were work camps. I got flagged. That thing went down within 6 hours. So, for what? Hate speech, yeah.
Well,
I called a friend of mine. Let me just finish. And I said, I'm 6 years old. I didn't know that I was doing hate speech. Thank you, Elon, for telling me. And that's Laura Yakarakakaka.
Okay. Over this last year, I brought out a book called The Holocaust Narrative.
Yeah. I don't know how you didn't get flagged for that, but I see it all over the place.
Well, I'm trying to be honest about the reality of the situation. And so, to be honest with you, I expected pushback from the Jews. The biggest surprise that I got was that the pushback all came from the Nazis. It all came from the white boys. And the reason was because I talked about the Catholic participation in the camps. I talked about the last chapter in the book is about Christus in Dachau. It was a book written by Father Lentz. He's an Austrian Catholic priest who a lot of Austrians ended up in Dachau. Dachau was the paradigmatic concentration camp when I was young. My father's best friend was with Patton's army, and he showed me pictures that he took of the dead bodies in Dachau. Everybody talked about Dachau. And one of the groups that talked about it a lot were the Catholics, because there were a lot of Catholics in Dachau. There were priests. There were thousands of priests there. There were bishops there, bishops ordained priests in Dachau. And it was Lentz that described that whole story that no one knows about anymore. So I brought that up, and the white boys were upset because they basically hold the same narrative as the Jews. It's just with the polls reversed. So I was surprised by that. And I was surprised by the fact that it's been almost a year now. And I'm still talking about it.
I'm under their radar. The ADL has me on as a vicious anti-Semite, okay? So as soon as I come back on, I'm probably on an algorithm, Brother Nathaniel. They're watching me. So well, now it's...
I hate to dispute this with you, but I feel as if I'm a bigger anti-Semite than you are. I know that that's...
Are you on, look, I'm not trying to win a prize as the bigger anti-Semite. I don't know. Was it an algorithm? Am I under the radar? Does Jonathan Greenblatt, is he looking over my tweets? Okay, I don't know.
Are you more of a threat because you were raised a Jew?
Of course, St. Paul was a tremendous threat because he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Now he's convincing everybody that Jesus is the Messiah. Paul, who was Saul, is a powerhouse. He knew the whole Tanakh, which is the Old Testament. He knew the whole Bible, okay? The Old Testament. So when he spoke, this man was a Pharisee of the Pharisee, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He studied at the feet of Gamaliel. And, the Jews want to kill him. Well, here I am. I grew up in this thing. I grew up in Jewry. Not secular Judaism like a lot of people. Okay. I grew up in traditional Judaism. I studied with the Chabad house in Lubavitcher's 3 intense years with a Talmidim, they call it, the disciple of the Rebbe, Menachem Schneerson. I studied with Rabbi, it wasn't Rebbe, because that's the highest you go, Shalom Posner. I'm no small fry when it comes to Jewry. I know this whole thing. But I also know, because I'm a racial Jew, I know how Jews think. I know how they operate. That's why I always say to people, no goy ever written the protocols of the elders of Zion. Impossible. There are so many layers of deception in it. A goy is a forthright person. A Jew is devious.
So the biggest threat, I think, is conversion. The biggest threat, the thing the Jews fear the most is the voluntary conversion of Jews to Jesus Christ.
Well, that's what St. Paul did. Now, I'm not going to compare
myself to St. Paul. That's been 2,000 years. It's been 2,000 years. This is the greatest fear that they have. It's not Nazis. They love Nazis. They love this image of people wanting to hurt them, rather than the real fear is that people want to love them by bringing them to the truth.
They're hard to love. You know, John Hagee says, I love the Jews.
I say, I love the Jews. I love the Jews because the Jews are my enemy. And Jesus Christ said we should love our enemy.
Yeah, I know, but they're not lovable, and they know that. So when John Hagee says, I love the Jews, they get sick. They laugh at him. And all
what
these people.
What happens when I say I love the Jews? Do they laugh at me?
They don't want your love. They don't want it.
They want my love. They do want my love.
No,
they want
it, Michael.
They're looking for love in all the wrong places. Someone just sent me a picture. It's not the first time, not the last time, but basically two guys, they're both in monk's habits. They're both holding copies of the Jewish Revolutionary Spirit. These are two Jews who converted not just to Catholicism, they became monks at a monastery because they read my book.
I read your book too. I love you. I want your love, but the Jew doesn't. You see, I'm a Christian now. Racially, I am a Jew. Just look at me. Everyone knows that, okay? And that's good. It's a good testimony. Hey, this Jewish guy, is he a rabbi? No, you wear crosses. I carried a cross on the street. Big. Okay, great testimony. But I'm an Orthodox Christian. I'm baptized. I'm regenerated. I have a garment of light upon me. I'm illuminated. Okay, you know all the terminology, but it's something experiential in the Orthodox Church. So that is great that you love me. That's great that those monks are carrying your book and they want you to love him. But do you think David Solomon of Goldman Sachs wants your love? He don't want your love. He's not interested in your love.
Everybody wants love. Everybody wants to be loved.
They've got their love within their little, mishpucha. They don't want the goyish love because you don't have a divine nefesh. They don't want it. You're actually subhuman. You're a little bit above the Negroes. Divine nefesh. They don't want your love. You have to listen to me, Dr. Jones. You can argue with me, and
okay,
we can disagree.
Okay, I understand.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
I understand. I've talked about something called the cunning of reason. The term comes from Hegel, but Hegel studied theology. He was a Protestant, but he studied theology.
I think he's talking
about divine providence. He's talking about divine providence. He's talking about something like the story of Joseph in the Bible, where this was the reading today, by the way, first reading at Mass today was the story of Joseph and his brothers. It's the end of Genesis, which means that it's pretty much going to be the program for the rest of human history. And so they sell Joseph into slavery. You know the story. He becomes a influential figure in the Egyptian bureaucracy right next to the Pharaoh. Then the famine breaks out, and then they got to come to beg for grain, and he reveals himself. And at the end, I used to think it was right then and there, but at the end of Genesis, he says to his brothers, the evil that you intended to do to me has been turned by God's power into good.
Right.
That's the cunning of reason. I think that that's what Hegel had in mind, because he was a theologian. He was a study theology. I see that happening now. I see that happening. I'll give you one instance. George Galloway.
Yeah, well, enlighten me because I don't see it happening, but tell me. Maybe I should see it happening.
George Galloway got elected in spite of the fact that every journalist demonized him as an anti-Semite. It turns out that I think it's Roughdale. There's a large Muslim constituency there. Okay. Now, why are there so many Muslims in England? Well, because the Jews are promoting a kind of replacement migration here all across Europe. They're bringing Muslims in because they're not compatible. But by bringing them in, these people are more less likely to go along with the Jews than the natives are. The natives are all cowed. They're all intimidated by the Jews. The Muslims aren't. And so this is the cunning of reason. The Jews are bringing about the opposite of what they intend. The evil that they intended to do to us has been turned by God's power into good. That's one example. It's hard to see this because there's so much evil in the world.
No, I see it, but it means nothing.
Why does it mean nothing?
Did the Muslims control the military? Did they pay the checks? Did they run the central bank that cuts the checks for the military? Did the Muslims there do that? Did the Muslims run the police forces? Did they pay their checks? Come on, Michael. George Galloway is going to save the world? No.
Why did I say that?
No, you didn't say that. Forgive me. You didn't say that.
Should we ignore something? Should we just ignore something and not have the eyes to see it? Don't you think this is...
George Galloway is going to go against this huge, massive Jewish control of every aspect of Western society? The Jews control international trade. They have been since the late 1800s. I mean, this is huge. This is big. If I want to sell a dozen bagels in Indonesia, I got to go to the Jews because they can shut down a port on me and those bagels will be stuck in a port. And they'll bribe the guy on that ship, the carrier, take those dozen bagels and sink them. This is the power that the Jews have. Does anybody understand this? Everybody ignores Jewish finance. Well, Hitler didn't ignore it.
I wrote a book about Jewish finance. It's called Baron Metal, The Conflict Between Labor and Usury. I'm not denying their power, but are you saying they're more powerful than God?
No, but this is why I said to Stu Peters, he said, what's the answer? Because he's getting very frustrated about this. Now that he's starting to see this is his awakening. Like Dr. David Duke had his awakening, which 100 million footnotes, if you ever read that book, okay? You've had your awakening. I knew all this. I just decided in 2007, I'm going to get them because I always knew this as a kid because my father was a very traditional Jew, Orthodox Jew, late tefillin, the whole thing, the phylacteries, but he was anti-Zionist. And he was also a very perceptive guy, and he wanted to teach us kids to see beyond the facade. My brother wasn't all that interested. He was more of an athletic type of guy. I wasn't. I was a very sensitive kid playing the piano, reading books, okay? So my dad poured everything into me. And I knew this as a kid because my dad showed it to me. And so I see the power of the Jews is massive. This whole, so you talk about
this. Is that because you were a Jew?
Because I grew up in it.
Right. But I'm saying, you're giving me the feeling that that they're more powerful than God. Is that because?
No, they're not more powerful than God. I mean, that would be blasphemous for me to say that a human being, that God can just blink his eye if he, you know.
Well, does God want the Palestinians to be slaughtered? Is God going to be mocked in Gaza?
He wants people to stand up for righteousness.
All right. We're doing that. We're doing
only
that.
A few of us are doing it. We're going to the Super Bowl.
Okay, I agree.
It's derogatory to the Gentiles. I don't want to. But the Goyim are on the TV watching the Super Bowl while the wicked Christ crucifiers are burning the faces of little Palestinian children. Watching the hula girls shake their asses. These poor children are being massacred. Their arms are being... The Goyim are watching the Super Bowl. Going to change this crap? No, he's not. I don't even watch it. I don't really give a damn about Galloway, to be quite honest with you, Dr. Jones. And that's why I like you, because you and I can talk about hard things together.
Good.
I can say it like it is. You can say it like it is. I don't care about Galloway. He will do nothing.
All right. I admire your candor. Let's see. Let's hear what the audience has to say.
All right. Hello, everybody. Hello, Brother Nathaniel. This is the voice of Mike Bajakis. For you guys who are new, I'm Dr. Jones' assistant. Quick rules for everyone who is new here. Call-ins are made via our Telegram channel. The link is in the description. In Telegram, I'll call on those who raise their hands. And then later in the stream, if we have some time, we'll read off some text questions from the chat, Cozy, Rumble, what have you. Try to keep questions on subject. Try to keep to one question at a time. Be respectful of everyone's time. And don't forget to unmute yourself. Very important. And obviously, y'all can ask anyone, Brother Nathaniel or Dr. Jones, a question. Either one. Let's go with Patrick C. first. Where'd he go? Wait, there he is. All right. Patrick C., are you there?
I am. Thank you, Mike. So I think I'm the one that helped in get Brother Nathaniel here. I sent an email telling him that E. Michael Jones wanted to get a hold of him. I have a brother. My brother, Leopold Chanel, is a linebacker with the Kansas City Chiefs. And I have so many questions I want to ask both of you. I hope I can interview both of you for my new podcast that I'm going to come up with here soon. My first guest is going to be John Barber, one of Jeff Rentz's friends. And I just wanted to say a lot of things. Brother Nathaniel, you know, you were a musician at one point with Rebecca and the Sunnybrook Farmers. I love that album that you came out with, by the way.
Right.
I just want to regarding Gaza, Kid Rock, Yid Rock, I call him now, came out and said that he doesn't want to he wants to kill Palestinians by the tens of thousands, essentially. And I heard
he said 40,000. He said 40,000.
Yeah, well, tens of thousands, however many, tens of thousands, 50,000 for all he cares. I think the music industry is run by the military. It always has been. You have to get approval from them to get a good hit record.
No, the Jews run the military. They do run the military because they cut their checks. Yeah, Jews run the music industry. You're wrong there.
The Jews run the military ultimately.
They cut the checks from the
Israel Fed, is okay? The landing strip for the American Jews to go.
All right, I'll let you talk. What's your question?
Well, I guess I just wanted to say that I really appreciate what you guys are doing. My question is, what can we do about it? Say, what would you be willing to go to Europe, to say England, and do your street?
No, my ministry is here in Jew America. No, I'm not going there.
Good.
Europe is ruined.
I see Russian Orthodox monks and priests walking on the streets there. I've seen it. You wouldn't stand out at all. You'd be just another monk on the street in Russia.
I'm not going.
Christ loving country.
But do you have a question? Let's do Q&As here, please.
Yeah. Well, what can we do? What can we do to what can I do?
Be very specific. Let me talk, please. I want to start the Brother Nathaniel show. It's going to be like a format like Alice Jones. It's not going to be all, I'm not going to have a huge studio, but I want to get a start. And I'm going to give the news from a Jewish insider's point of view. Okay. Like I said, I can look at a headline. I know what the Jews are up to just from the headline. Okay. So I'm going to give the news, but I'm not going to be saying Jew this, Jew that, because I want to reach more mainstream. So I'm going to be very intellectual, very intelligent, very articulate, but basically I'll say the same thing. But it'll also be, I'm not going to be pushing Russian Orthodoxy or anything Orthodox Christian. I'm not going to push that because people are turned off by it. I'm just going to be me. But everything I see through the lens of the Orthodox Christian, Eastern Orthodox worldview. Just like Dr. Jones sees everything, because I know he's a very devout Catholic. And he's got a very wide grasp of the Catholic Church and its history, its ecclesial realm. So he also sees things, news, through this lens of the Catholic Church. So I see it through the lens of the Orthodox Church. So he and I are very similar in that regard, and we're both seasoned men. I'm 73. I don't know how old Dr. Jones is, but we come from the same generation. So you want to help?
Actually, we come from the same state. Yeah, I'm from Philadelphia, and you're from Pittsburgh. So
yeah, hey, we beat you guys. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers, oh, we beat you. Okay, so anyway, but you so much football. I just know we call them the Steelers. So at any rate, Patrick, I need help with funding. I'm going to get right down to it. And people say, well, now you're really a Jew. Well, look, if I want to start the Brother Nathaniel Show, I need to buy a camera. I need to buy a computer. I need to get everything integrated in sync. It takes money. So people want to accuse me I'm a Jew. Well, you need money too. Do you ever go to the store to buy eggs? That checkout lady is not going to buy you, but let you buy that unless you have money. How did you get on the internet? Well, you got on the internet because you paid your IP guy money. So don't go there with me. I won't take it. You want to help me? I need funding.
Okay. Let's go to the next question.
Next question here. And make sure to try to keep it quick and concise. We have a lot of people listening right now.
Yeah, they have to ask a question. And not, you know, I'm not really interested in, you know, patting you on the back. I'm not interested in that. I'm not. I don't think Dr. Jones is either.
There we are. Okay, let's go to the next person. Make it quick. Make it nice. Let's go to just Joe. Hello, Joe. Are you there?
It doesn't have to be nice. You can ask me a tough question, but let it be a question.
I have a question for Brother Nathaniel. Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear. You're talking too loud. Go ahead. Yeah. That's good.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I have brothers that are Eastern Orthodox, and they told me, well, they asked me, are you a brother, a monk?
Yeah. Okay, all you have to do is go to my site. Let me talk, because I get this crap all the time. It's to discredit me. Go to my site, Real Jew News. And as you're looking at the screen on the right-hand side, you'll see under Donate, Brother Nathaniel's Church Status. Click on it. You'll see a recent letter from my beloved bishop. His name is Archbishop Kirill of the Western Diocese. His cathedral is in San Francisco, where is laid out the relics, the incorrupt relics of St. John Maximovich. That's my church. He's my bishop. And you'll see the letter, Brother Nathaniel is a monastic, a tonsured monastic. And he is under my authority as a bishop. And he is a member in good standing in any Orthodox church. There's no objections to those that we're in communion with for him to partake of the holy mysteries. Then you'll see right next to it, who I was under before. That's Metropolitan Olari in a blessed memory. The same letter. This letter has been circulating since when I joined ROCOR from the Jerusalem Patriarchate in 2007. And now all of a sudden, in 2023, I'll finish. I'm not a monk. I'm not in the church. Okay? This is slander. It's liable, really, to call me a fraud. Because if you call me a fraud, you're calling my bishops a fraud. That's the end of the story. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Okay. One quick follow-up, though. I understand why, as a Roman Catholic, they don't accept the understanding of Dr. Jones and the Jewish revolutionary spirit. And it's a lot of them are because of the Nostra Aetate and Vatican II and all that, and the Jewish dialogue, Catholic dialogue. What is it about the Eastern Orthodox Church that prevents them from understanding and accepting the idea of the Jewish revolutionary spirit?
Well, we dialogue with them all the time. I mean, our patriarch, we're under the patriarch of Moscow and all Russia, is the patriarch Kirill. He is in dialogue constantly with the Roman Catholic hierarchy. So that's not true. And I have many friends. I have friends who were with the Sedes Vacantes. The seat is empty. But I also have many friends who still do the Latin Mass, because we have a big Roman Catholic area. I'm sure Dr. Jones knows about it, Post Falls. And I have friends with professors. I have a professor, they got bounced from that Gonzola, whatever it's called, because he was too outspoken. We have a social cause. I'm not interested in division, okay? Me and Michael Jones, we go back, and this has never been an issue of division, and I'm with the Russian Orthodox Church, and he's a Roman Catholic. That's never been an issue between he and I. Now, we may disagree. We may get, you know, vehement, whatever. Okay. But that's why we like each other. So I'm not going to go there with this division stuff.
Okay.
Nick Fuentes, the same thing. He's a very bad Catholic. I like the guy. I think he's great. So people say, why didn't you try to convert him? He didn't invite me on the interview to convert him. I'm not going to do that. It's rude.
Okay. Next question.
Next question. Here we go. MV. Go ahead, MV.
Hey, Brother Nathaniel. Good to hear your voice. Like what you're doing on Twitter. Please try to avoid the dirty words they don't like so you can stay on there as long as possible. They need that exposure, you know, the main platforms. But I had a question for you as far as when you converted to Orthodoxy. And I wonder about this anytime someone converts to Orthodoxy. What made you choose the Russian Orthodox sect versus any of the other Orthodox churches?
Because there's a great revival in Russia. I mean, wow. You know, a lot of Jews who come out of the Soviet Union had nothing. And now that it opened up I forget his name. He used to talk with Bush. It was before Yeltsin. Who was the guy who opened up Russia?
Gorbachev.
He died. Yeah, Gorbachev. Okay, so now he's giving them a chance to look into the synagogue and look into the church. Gorbachev did that. And okay, now it's open, and they see Judaism, and it's empty, and they're attracted, really, to Russian Orthodoxy. Well, that's the in Russia, Orthodoxy is the national religion. And so I have a lot of friends who are former Jews like me. They look very Jewish, but many of them are priests. Some of them are monks, and we're friends. And so I felt, I can groove right into this because there's a revival. And Gorbachev really was the one that started that. He gets the credit. And Yeltsin really made it grow. He just did a lot for the church, tremendous amount. And the one who really gave it a national consciousness was Vladimir Putin, who's a very devout Orthodox Christian, because I know people know him personally, both priests and bishops. Okay, so that's why.
Okay. At this point, we usually switch off to the written questions. Do you have them?
Now that we've stated it, everyone knows, start writing your questions real quick. So I have a big pot of those. Let's do one more. Can we do one more, Colin?
Okay.
All right. All right, let's see the last guy, Kino Mike. Go ahead, Kino Mike. Don't forget to unmute yourself, Mr. Kino Mike. Where'd he go? Last guy, a bus. Did he disappear? Don't forget to unmute yourself, Kino.
The mic didn't work for Kino.
Okay, Kino's mic didn't work. Okay, well, let's see. How are our questions in the chat going? We'll just jump to the chat. You lost your chance. We'll jump to the chat here in Cozy, Rumble, Odyssey. There's a lot. I won't be able to hit them all, but I'll scroll through and hit some good ones here.
Okay.
All right. From Cozy, does Putin know the truth about the Holocaust? And if yes, will he use this weapon at some point?
For what? Germany ended up turning against Russia. He's this leader of a nation. He doesn't go on the internet, I guarantee you. He doesn't have to. He's got intel all across the world. So for what? There's no purpose. Okay, he's now trying to deal with this Ukraine issue. And of course, he's winning. He won actually before he even started. Okay, so he has a big nation. He inherited an imperial Russia. He doesn't give a damn about the Holocaust. Okay, and really, the Holocaust is ancient history. It's a dying cause for the Jews. Okay, so they're going to have to come up with something, and they will. Okay, that's that question.
Dr. Jones, any comment on that one?
No, I know less. I know nothing about the mind of Vladimir Putin.
Very few do. Very few do. But I know bishops who know him personally. I know who his confessor is. Not that the confessor is going to tell me what he confesses, but I do have contacts.
Okay, from Cozy, question from Cree Flow. Why are Jews so interested in Gaza? They heard there was a free Palestine. Oh, that was a joke. I get it. So why are Jews so interested in Gaza?
Because they want you never heard of the Greater Israel Project? They want the whole land. They want the whole thing. They don't want Arabs there because the Arabs, you know, are resisting the whole colonization theft. They want them out. They want them out in Gaza, and they want them out in the West Bank. That's why they started sending the settlers there, these wicked things. This is a no-brainer.
From Rumble.
They want the whole thing. Come on. The Jews want a little piece? They've already taken over America. They want the whole thing. Part of it. They want the whole thing. America and Europe, which they pretty much got. We still have a chance here in America. We still have a chance. And I think we should, we're looking at seceding here in greater Idaho movement. I think secession is the only way. And I'm part of a movement here. We're going slow, but we're doing it with some SACL. We're doing it smart. Okay. Is there another question?
Oh yeah. There's plenty. From Rumble, from Paige on Rumble. What does Brother Nathaniel think of Alan Dershowitz?
Oh, God, he's sick. Look at his face. He's got the DSL curse all over him. Blech. Need I say more? And Michael knows what the DSL curse is. Of course he does. When the Jew, when Pilate was scared because his wife came to him, we commemorate in the Russian, in the Orthodox Church, he said, I had a bad dream about this guy. Let him go. And he knew he was innocent because he knew the Jews did it because of jealousy. But they said, we're going to report you to Rome. And just like in America, the Jews had the Caesars by the balls because of their trade. They controlled the trade. Okay, so question again. I got carried away on something.
Next question.
The Neocidal curse. Yeah, Dershowitz. Dershowitz.
Dershowitz.
Yeah. Okay, so the Jews said, release him. No, give, Papa said, I don't see anything wrong with him. Okay, he's innocent. I'll release Barabbas, which means son of Abba.
Oh, Brother Nathaniel disappeared. You're back? Are you back? Hold on.
There.
A little bit of an internet lag there.
Okay, so at any rate, to make it quick, they said, crucify him, crucify him. His blood be upon us and upon our children. Every Jew, every single Jew bears the deicidal curse because it passes on from generation to generation. So what happens to a good-looking guy if you look at somebody like this Merrick Garfinkel? That's his real last name, okay? He's trying to pass himself up as a goy. He's a wicked Jew, okay? You look at Merrick Garfinkel when he was 20, 30. Nice-looking, pleasant-looking. Look at him now. He's a, that's the deicidal curse. It comes out. Look at Dershowitz. He looks like an ogre. That's a deicidal curse coming out. I don't trust a Jew. Never trust a Jew. They'll do the Jew jig on you. They're with us. They're on our side. The next day, they'll prove to be, they'll betray you. They'll betray your whole cause. Don't never trust a Jew.
All right. Next question here. On Cozy from Booma. Change gears here. How do you both you guys stay with so much high energy? Your energy levels are surpass the doomers to their shame. How do you guys have so much
energy? I want Dr. Jones to answer that. Let him have a little say. You know, I want to hear from him too.
Two cups of coffee every morning. I'm 3 years older.
I have four cups over here, Michael.
You need it more, I guess. I don't know. You're younger than I am. He's 3 years younger. I'm 75.
Oh, God bless you. I'm 73.
Good. 2 years younger than me.
19. Because of coffee. If I didn't have coffee, I'd be going on 79. Coffee does it all.
Okay.
What a great creation you made, Jesus, with coffee beans. I mean, thank you.
All right.
What's that? Yeah, we need a little laugh. We need a chuckle. It's right. Too serious. You know?
Slow it down. But yeah. From Anglo-Assadian, how can you have so much hope for Galloway when both parties have pledged to combat anti-Zionist and anti-Semitism?
I don't have any hope for him.
Galloway's not a member of either party. He's a member of the Workers' Party. And the fact that he got elected outside of both parties gives me hope. I believe what the gospel says when it says, do not put your trust in princes. But I also believe that we should read the signs of the times. And I think this is a significant sign of the times. And I think we'd be foolish to ignore it.
I'm not going to say anything because I have high respect for Dr. E. Michael Jones. I'll let him have the word on that one.
From
and he's a smart guy too. He's an intellect. We need more intellects in this. I'm trying to tell Alex, come on, you're a smart guy, Alex. I write to him, and I know he reads what I write. Try to be more intellectual. Get Paul Craig Roberts back on. Don't have these lowlifes like Joe Rogan. It looks like he just walked out of a bar. Have some intellectuals. Get Michael Jones on.
I was on a show, actually. I found it hard to get an edge in word-wise, as we used to say in Philadelphia.
He would just start.
Maybe we should try it again, but I don't think we had a meeting of the minds that time.
Well, we didn't either, but I knew what he was doing. I said it already. Bad cop, good cop. But his style, he interrupts everybody. That's just his, he's like a nervous guy. I mean, he's a nervous wreck, basically. He's not a manic depressant. He's a manic manic. If there is such a psychological, aspect, that's what he is.
Yeah.
Is there a drug for that? Well, maybe booze. I don't know. But he interrupted me, but I kind of had fun with it. I can go with the flow.
This was a question that I had, and a friend of mine. Does Brother Nathaniel think it's a good idea for Dr. Jones to debate Adam King?
No, stay away from him. I had an agreement with this pig, okay? Excuse my language. My bishop says, don't you be talking like that. And here I am talking like that. I hope he doesn't watch this. So at any rate, Adam King, we had an agreement. So and it was Alec Jones's producer who set this up. Daria, I don't even know her last name, but she's actually Russian Orthodox, so which is wonderful. So at any rate, she set it up between me and this Adam King. She told me, I didn't know that who he was. I didn't know who he was from a matzo ball. Okay, so she says, oh, he's a Hasid. And I said to myself, huh, Hasid is on the internet? Doing a show on band video? Because I study with the Hasids. I know them backward and forward. I still have friends. Contacts. I don't know if they're friends. I still have contacts, okay, because someone's going to use that against me. All right, so I call him up and I start asking about him being a hussy, and I found out within 1 minute he's not. Okay, I just know what to ask. He's not. Okay, so at any rate, he was dying to have me on his show because I'm a celebrity. I got to have you on. So we made an agreement. Daria made the agreement. You ask a question. No, a moderator. A black guy. Okay. So he was to ask me a question and I only had 1 minute to answer. Then he had to refute it in 1 minute. Then he asked Adam King the question and he gives his assertion and I have in 1 minute. Then I have 1 minute to refute it. Adam King broke it from the beginning. He just gave a 5 minute refutation. He was all over the place. But I was going to hang up. Because Daria set it up for her sake and out of my respect for her, and I hold her in very high regard because she does a tremendous job. She does a lot of work for Alex Jones. I think Alex would be lost without her because I found out what she does. Okay, so because of that, I stuck it out for an hour, and this moderator was terrible. And he sided with Adam King. Then Adam King got on this slander. They call it ad hominem. I call it libel. I call it slander. I call it just plain nastiness. And I'm thinking, I'm out of here, but I can't. Daria set this up, so I put up with it. And the moderator didn't stop him. Okay, now it's over. So now I see on X that he's got a patron, a Jew. He said, I just defeated, I made mincemeat out of Brother Nathaniel, and his enabler, a Jew, said, yeah, we don't want any Christians defeating us Jews. Good, Adam. Now Daria calls me. She's disgusted. She says, I want nothing to do with him again. Nothing. All he did was attack you. He didn't keep by the rules. That's it. Don't do any interviews with this guy.
Okay.
He doesn't know anything anyways. He pretends he knows. He knows nothing. He's a moron.
I had a similar experience with Charles Moskowitz. Okay. He had me on the first time and I thought we had a real meeting of the minds. I think I answered all of his objections. And then I'm waiting for the link, and he says, oh, I forgot to push the record button. Well, all right. I have my suspicions. I have my suspicions that basically...
I have no suspicions. He did it on purpose.
The interview didn't go the way he wanted, and so he didn't press the record button. Okay.
Because you're too smart for me. You can run around in circles. What you've forgotten, he'll never know.
Okay, so then I must have been like 6 or 7 more interviews with him. And over this period of time, this guy is not interested in the truth. This is not something that I haven't told him. He asked me the last time. I said, Charles, I think talking to you is a waste of time because you're not interested in the truth. And if you're not,
you should have asked me. I would have said, stay away from this guy.
Ben Franklin said, experience keeps an expensive school, but fools will learn and no other. So I had to learn this in the expensive school of experience. But after six of these incidents, I just realized, what is the point? If we are not interested in the truth, there is no point in talking. All he's interested in is justifying Jewish privilege. That's all he's interested in.
Oh, God. Of course, that's all he's interested in.
And so now he wants me to come on and talk about Gaza, and I'm not going to do it.
You're wasting your time, Michael.
The conclusion I came to. So I'm open to dialogue, but the dialogue can only be meaningful if we both have a commitment to the truth, and I just didn't find this in Charles Moskowitz.
All right, Dr. Jones, it's a little bit after 6. Do you want one more?
Let's do 2 more.
2 more? All right, we got some good ones here. I guess for anyone, any of you guys can answer this. What would happen if the Jews get their third temple?
You asking me or Michael?
It's not to anyone specific.
Well, you answer first, and I'll give my answer.
Well, it's a total sham. There's no Aaronic priesthood. The priesthood is over. It's extinct. Okay, it started with Vespasian and Titus. They got rid of the genealogies, but there was still some that the priests had, the genealogy, the same genealogy that Matthew used from the temple in the chapter 1 of Gospel of St. Matthew. Now there was a rebellion under Bar Kokhba, the son of the star, who claimed to be Mashiach, Messiah, in 130 AD. And then Hadrian goes in, and he makes sure there ain't going to be no Jewish revival, okay? And he destroys all the genealogies, all of them. No Jew can trace it from any tribe, Issachar or Dan was already gone. That's why John doesn't mention Dan in the Revelation. Okay, so Issachar, Zebulun, Reuben, Benjamin, gone. And the one that he really wanted to destroy was the priesthood, so there could be no more temple. And that's the Aaronic priesthood and the Levite priesthood, who were the servants of Aaron, the Merari, Gershon, and the Kohathites, okay? He made sure. He did a very thorough job. So the Jews want to build a temple? Well, they have no priesthood. Who's going to do the sacrifices? And Moses was commanded, you have to do it exactly the way I am telling you to do it. So this would be blasphemy. And the ones who understand it is the Nutare Karta group, because I have contacts. I know him, Rabbi David Weiss. And he says, yeah, you're right, brother. You're right there. But when Mashiach comes, he'll show us who's going to be who's in the line of Aaron, who's in the line of Merari and all that. I said, well, first the Mashiach's going to prove he's from the line of David, from the tribe of Judah, and then from the line of David. And that's a pretty tall order. He ain't going to do it.
Yeah.
I won that debate with him. I won it.
I met Rabbi David Weiss in Mashhad.
He's a likable guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he is a likable. I said then that if all Jews were like Rabbi Weiss here, we wouldn't be here complaining. And
go ahead.
As I was saying this, they had a huge TV screen in the background. And this was when the Palestinians went to the wall and the Israeli snipers are shooting them, gunning them down. You know, people running away, they're shooting them in the back. So that's what I said to Rabbi David Weiss. If you want to know my feelings about the temple, you read the chapter on Julian the Apostate and the Jewish revolutionary spirit, because he was the last guy who tried to rebuild the temple. Every commentator, they had an Arian, a Catholic, and a pagan. commenting on this thing, all of them agreed that if the Jews rebuilt the temple, that Jesus Christ would be proved to be an imposter. Everyone accepted that premise. And so what Julian brings in, the greatest engineer of the Roman Empire, right, brings him in from England. The Jews go crazy. They think the end is now. The Jewish women are giving up their gold for the temple, and they're dragging off the rubble in their aprons. And finally, the platform is clear, and Olypius lowers the block down, the cornerstone, and as soon as it touches the foundation, fire erupts from the earth, and it kills everyone. The Jews are all slaughtered. They're toasted. And there are stories of the Jewish ladies. There's a temple, a Christian chapel there. They run for sanctuary in the chapel. They're running for shelter. The door shuts, a cross, burning cross is ignited on the door, and they're all toasted. They're killed, incinerated.
What a dramatist you are, but it's a true story.
It's a true story. Wow. Even Heinrich Graetz had to relate this story in his history of the Jews. And then he comes up with this cockamamie explanation that there were gas deposits underground that blew up or something like that. Everybody knows. So before you do it, fellas, read my chapter on Julian the Apostle.
Yeah, right. Tell Rabbi David why. See, these guys are authentic. They were against the whole theft and colonization from the beginning. They didn't wait till the Jews come, we're all going to become anti-Semites, so we'll go out and block a highway now. Bad with these people, okay? They're just worried about we'll all be called anti-Semites. Well, some Jews don't like this. Give me a break. This is all fake. But at least in the Tare Karta, I disagree with them. They're waiting for the Antichrist. I told Rabbi David Weiss that. Okay, but they are authentically against the theft and the stealing. Thou shalt not steal, they say constantly to the Jews. You stole the land. You don't deserve the land. You have no right to the land. These are authentic people. Now, as far as the other thing, they don't agree with me that Jesus is the Messiah. They don't believe that the new covenant has been instituted and that Jesus is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, which David predicted. So there they disagree with me. I had a debate with Rabbi David Weiss when he was skinny. I saw him 2 years later, he got fat. So here's a sense of humor he has, and here's my relationship with the guy. I said, Rabbi, you know, kosher's fine, okay, can be good. But too much of it, and I stuck my finger right on his belly. Too much of it makes you fat. He starts laughing, you know, because this is funny.
Okay, Mike, one more question.
One more question. Will secession happen regardless of the U.S. election results?
Regardless of the U.S. election, what's that going to do? It's going to do nothing. How's Trump going to turn around this homosexual thing that's infiltrated all the hospitals, all the academia? They have like different study programs. It's all been funded by transgenders like Jennifer Pinsker and her brother, who's the governor of Illinois, and Jews everywhere, you know, are funding this thing. And the Jewish surgeons are cutting off little boys' penises and sticking a plastic vagina. That's going to change under Trump? Or whoever gets in. I mean, come on, this stuff's not going to change. And the border, well, put up some wire, put some chicken wire up and electrify it. They're already here. It's too late. And Trump let it happen, quite frankly. He should have called, invoked the Insurrection Act. And he said, Pence is going to change it. He's going to take all these boats and send it back to the States. You're going to rely on this stiff Pence. He can't smile. I never liked him because I could see. This man can't smile. It's almost like it's cemented. He's like a robot. And come on, Trump, you know people, you've been in business. But that was his way out. Because once you become a leader, you better take your wife, you better take your son, you better take your daughter and your son-in-law and get them the hell out, get them away, because the Jews will kill them. See, once you become a leader, you have to be ready to die. That's a true leader. I know some leaders who are like that. I'm not going to mention any names, though. So, of course, secession is going to happen. It has to happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen. It has to happen. And it's not going to happen in Texas because they are in the whole globalist Jewish finance because of oil and gas. It ain't going to happen in Texas. Texas is a ridiculous thing. It's not, it's just, it's a non-starter, Texas. I laugh at it. But here in Greater Idaho, we have potatoes here. We have alfalfa. Next to us, we have whole earth minerals. So we use this as leverage. We say, DC, all you have is Rachel Levine. Okay. Ugh. So, but we have, but look what we have. We got potatoes. We got cows. We got alfalfa. We got lumber, well, plenty of trees here, and you need that. So, but we got some people here. I'm kind of in the background, but I'm involved, who are very smart people, and they're already in influential positions. Because you saw what Idaho just did. I think they made it, you're gonna die. You touch a child and you do something wicked, you're gonna die. Okay, so that's Idaho. So we have a chance here. The Greater Idaho Movement. Look it up. You'll see what's going on.
Thank you, Brother Nathaniel. Someone asked us at the beginning, what can you do? Okay, I would just like to say, there's one thing you can do. Every one of you out there, you can say the word Jew. And you can say it with conviction, without animosity. You can say it objectively, and you can say, look, I have to say it because if I don't say this word, I can't explain what's going on. And I have to explain what's going on here because the hour is late. The hour is late. We allow these people to take over our country, and now we're going to have to take it back from them. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is by connecting the dots and saying, well, they're doing this and they're doing that. From abortion to Zionism, we've got a pandemic here of problems that are caused by a small group of people who are now ready to drive this car of state off the cliff. And I'm talking about the war in the Ukraine, the war in Gaza, all the wars that they brought about. And so I'd like to end by again thanking Brother Nathaniel for his courage.
It was very refreshing. It was like a cold shower, warm shower.
For his courage in standing up to all of these pressures, for his ability to speak from the inside, having been raised a Jew. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for coming
on. I enjoyed it, Dr. Jones.
Thank you.
I like talking to an intellect.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, one short announcement that I won't be here next week. I'll be off giving a speech somewhere. So in 2 weeks, thank you for being here.
See y'all next week.